Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com. Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. It is another week of Comics Talk Comedy. We got the guest. We got the co-host. Everyone's we're rocking and popping today.
Yes, we are. It's good to be here.
How you doing, Jesse?
Good. That was some good film music beforehand.
A little elevator-ish. A little Reading Rainbow, I think. Something like that.
Did Wade play that on his keyboard?
He plays it every week.
He does?
Yes.
Oh, man, I've never...
Yeah, it's in there. So
appreciate it.
How was your week in comedy?
Pretty good. You know, our old buddy Bob Hansen's in town from New York staying with me, and we've been doing shows together. He's in the San Diego Comedy Festival, so we've been there a lot.
And you didn't do that this year?
No, I just did... I didn't enter it. Because I'm an idiot, but I did feature for someone there on a day, and then they're going to have me close the show tonight, the late show.
What does that mean?
Like, they're tallying up whatever.
Oh, you're going to go up during
time
that time?
At the end, yeah.
That's cool. And you're doing the comedy at Twigs or whatever?
Twigs tonight, yep.
Double dipping.
With Norelli, which will be great.
Yeah. You're a big fan of his.
I'm a big fan of his. I think Norelli's awesome. Yeah. He's super funny. And then Jeff Dye is another one I just saw who I really... recommend to comics to check him out. Jeff Dye, really, really fucking funny.
They got a Yelp review on that, and they said Jeff Dye was good, but everyone else on the show was terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he was really good. I didn't see the rest of the show, but yeah, he was terrific. What else? We did Oceanside together, Bob and I.
Okay, how
we
was
went
that
up
show?
To the Tremont Street show, and
I saw
was,
the picture you took of Bob. There was just a dude drinking, not even paying attention at all to the comedy. That's what I saw.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was people at the bar. It was sort of. I don't know. It's like, what do you think, Bob? It was like halfway ambush, halfway booked. I mean, it was like they were pretty attentive for a show that you would think is just an ambush where no one's expecting it. It wasn't really like that. There was all the tables seemed to be really into it. What do you think, Bob?
I think it helped us that they just looked like they all had terrible table talk, so they just needed somewhere else to go. And thankfully, we were just there to fill the void.
Okay, you don't think they actually knew about the show and they came to see it?
I don't know. What's a Wednesday in Oceanside usually like?
I don't know, but
the show's weekly, right? It's every week.
Yeah, it went well.
Yeah,
yeah, it went well.
Then Thursday, you did the Comedy Store.
Comedy Store. We did that one in La Jolla. Great.
Well, we started off with the Palace. We did the first round of the festival.
Right, first round of the festival.
Okay.
Bob was competing.
He competed against
a number of very good comics. And one of them, the one he has to follow, played like music off his iPad.
That's what you were saying. I didn't know you had to go out. How was that?
I thought it was okay. Following him, I just stuck to my guns, did my thing. I think things worked out. What I like about contests is the opportunity to take something as personal and subjective as the performing art and then objectify it with numbers and points. And I'm just, that's always what I saw myself as an artist. I always saw myself as a guy, if we can just somehow make this more formulaic, if I can't bear my soul on a spreadsheet, then it's not worth bearing.
It's not worth it.
No.
Yeah.
But so why did you decide to enter anyways then?
Well, I come here every February, so I'll just come here a month earlier. Yeah. Maybe you can win the thing. You get some money. You pay for your trip. You get a little. You go home and you're back to New York. And, hey, I won the Blibbity Blah Festival thing. And they go, hey, you're awesome. And then we high five and maybe share a milkshake or something like that with two straws.
Big milkshake things and the big thing in New York? Some people do to celebrate? They have milkshakes?
Well, they should.
So you don't regret entering?
No, regrets. Absolutely not. I mean, I think it was a good chance just to meet people. Like I was telling Jesse, there's so many New York comics. Like I was meeting dudes that I'm near all the time, and we're meeting for the first time here in San Diego.
Okay.
You're a New York guy. I'm a New York guy. I'm at this club. I'm at the club next door. And
so the scene is so big out there. You literally don't know most of the people.
Yeah, that's I think so. Your media is always five new. Everywhere you go, you go to your home spot, your most familiar club, your favorite show that you're booked on. There's five people, new comics you don't even know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's someone fed them after midnight a long time ago.
Are you seeing more people from the start of the year, like people with New Year's resolutions to do comedy?
That's already done.
Okay.
Yeah, that lasted like a week.
That's, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's.
I think
it's
that you were speculating that maybe Winston's has been good now. Because of that there's a bunch more comics doing...
Yeah, I mean, like, last night we had a lot of different people due to the festival.
Uh-huh.
But there's also been, like, a lot of new name people that have taken class here or there and then are trying to hit it harder.
Yeah.
So
OBC's definitely had a resurgence, I guess, the last couple months here. The show's been really good.
Yeah. I mean, we had like 40 comics on yesterday.
Yeah, it was a lot of comics, but also a good audience, a lot of people there.
It was good until a point.
Yeah. There was a lot of people there. And then, yeah, it went south at one point. But still, as far as how it's been lately, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. And passing out tickets, having the door guys pass out tickets, Tar pass out tickets. So we've been getting more of the
Bob
tickets.
Had to fight. He struggled, too.
Sure.
But you did great, I thought.
Thank you very much.
I thought it was like he had to follow Dave, you know, Dave Wright, who was finger banging the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then
Dave's very short.
Yeah.
And then Bob.
He did do a short set. I think it was a bad choice to put Venti right after the Bringer guy. Because he kind of riled them up.
He did assault them.
Yeah. So after that, it was kind of a battleground as opposed to a flowing show. Not that he could have done anything much differently, but it probably wasn't the best choice to go into a crowd worky guy.
Right. Who just basically attacked that one group for his whole set. So, yeah. But you know what? What are you going to do?
I appreciate that when you first told the listeners I was here, you said, I saw a picture of him doing comedy where the guy was drinking a beer and not listening. And now let's talk about the contest that you didn't advance in. You guys, I appreciate how hard you're selling me right now.
Hey. Should we give him a proper introduction? Ladies and gentlemen, New York comedian Bob Hansen is our guest tonight. We welcome him to the studio.
He was part of the Laughing Skull?
The Laughing Devil.
Devil
the Fanfare.
Yes.
I guess I didn't think about it because we've been buddies for so long that it was like, well, we're just having a discussion. I didn't think about it as like, hey, it's our special guest. Yeah. So sorry, Bob.
If I really felt the tag, I would just bring it up later. I just thought it was a comical way to start. Here's two reasons he sucks. Here he is.
No, we're really just going through the week of what we did in shows and rehashing how they went. You know?
Right. Now, I did the store on Wednesday, and there was a lot of people. The whole middle was filled with one group.
Yeah.
They were all there. And it just went those shows, it's either they all like the joke or they all hate the joke. And I started off really bad, like to the point where I was going like, because I haven't bombed at the store in a while. Because it's kind of hard to bomb there.
Right.
Just because I can adjust and I know that crowd and I feel comfortable.
Sure.
But like that beginning, I felt like I was, this is going to be bomb city.
Really? It was a little rough.
But then they had just like little crowd worky things that worked.
Yeah.
And that helped it out. But it wasn't like...
I think we were there late Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bob closed it out.
That's right.
I was the last one, man. 7:40.
As the probably at the peak, there was probably 60. And then at that point, there was probably like 12.
Mm-hmm.
So, but how did you feel about your set on Wednesday? That's probably more people than you're used to.
Yeah, it is more people than I'm used to. Once again, can we get a fourth kick in the balls before the first commercial break?
Who would you like us to bring
up? We want
up,
you to know, no one watches this guy. He didn't advance in the contest, and he doesn't perform that many people. But you can see him tonight at the La Jolla Comedy Store at 7 and 9:30.
Actually, opening,
though.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
That's right. That is good, though. Steve Chirino's headlining at the Comedy Store.
Steve Chirino's headlining.
Bob
very comical.
Opening both shows, which is pretty big.
Yeah,
so.
You know.
Exciting.
Tell jokes to the people.
That should be good. See, there's a good thing.
Are you going to do an opening rant?
No, I don't do the whole big cluster of cliches that much anymore.
Okay.
I just kind of sneak them in here because I'll get tired. I'll mush mouth it, you know, and, you know, I start tripping over my words and, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, Jeff.
Getting older. Old man Bobby.
Yeah, because I remember you used to open the shows with like a 2-minute rant and like you're doing 5 minutes.
Sure. Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was kind of interesting.
Well, he still has some of the rant. I mean, he opens with the Wild Sexy Savages frothing at the
mouth. Yeah, I do a lot of that a little bit, but that's like 30 seconds.
You've added new stuff. The Vikings is new.
The Vikings, the Barbarians are pissing blood and bleeding piss.
That's
man.
Real
there's
gross.
No stopping us. Yeah.
That is.
You're not supposed to do either of those things.
One thing I want to bring up is like Lou Brockman is kind of special to the store.
Oh, yeah.
Any shows out there have anything like that in New York?
Special? No, nothing special to any of these shows. No, I wouldn't say so because they're so – you'll have a venue with – they'll have comedy almost every night with totally different promoters. So you're doing this bar in the Lower East Side? Wait, is it Sunday or Thursday? Oh, Thursday's a good one. Oh, Sunday's a not so good one. Oh, okay. So then it's like, I'm doing this one. Like, are you doing – really? You're doing this West Village bar? And their 10:30 Friday is awesome. Well, you're doing the 9 o'clock? That's a totally different guy. That sucks. Okay. It just tends to be like that a lot. And So there's no, there's no continuity.
Okay.
You could have a horrible open mic for an hour, and then that will end, and this awesome show will happen.
Okay.
With totally different people, and then it'll go back. And
but more of the question is there anyone that has like a piano player or anything like that to open up the show?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I mean, that's kind of it's hard to get those on the subway.
That's true.
So traditionally, we just kind of, you know, they just kind of go as it is.
Just, I mean, people.
I'm lucky to have a stage. A lot of times, it's a space on the floor, you know, just in a bar. So if there's a stage, one of those like kind of coffee house, three end stages off the, like, that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, because the show we did in was the Broadway Comedy Club.
Uh-huh.
They had a giant stage. It wasn't very high up.
Right.
But it was sure. big.
Yeah, it was very wide, good lights and everything. That was a good show we did together.
That was a good show.
Three of us in New York.
That was called Broadway Comedy Club.
I was thinking, I like that, because I hate the stages that are too high. Like the Madhouse, I think it's just incredibly too high.
It's way high, because like the people watching in the front row are like at your shins.
Yeah.
Their head is so low, it's weird.
Like, I get it because they need for, like, the people in
people
the back.
People in the back, definitely.
Wouldn't be able to see, but I think they don't need that front row. I just think it's too weird.
Way low down there.
Yeah, it's just, you're just, obviously you have to talk down to them or over them, or you look directly at them and then everyone else is ignored.
You just kick them in the face as you're talking. Yeah.
Just like Queen Bee's, which isn't typically
that
a
one's way too high.
Yeah,
that's, well, that's
more of a theater.
Yeah, you're like 8 feet up in the air.
Right.
That one's crazy high.
Do you have anything like that in New York?
No.
No. No high stages. Mostly just lows. Stages.
Mostly the floor.
Just mostly lows.
A lot of lows in New York.
Yeah.
We got a couple of San Diego people moving to New York. Peter Bandick and Dan Harumi.
Peter, both Comedy Store guys. Is that a Comedy Store thing that you guys leave and go to New York?
We'll find out after the break. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Talk to you then. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment. So, Bob, what would be your advice to someone that's coming from, you know, getting pretty prime stage time in San Diego and then going to New York? What should they expect?
Well, my advice, first advice would be to get more stage time. So I'd say when you think you're ready, stick around a bit more and you can get even more ready, because you need an act to base off of. As far as what you can expect, whoever you are, you know, you're coming from any other city, you're going to be an open micer again. You're going to right to the bottom. So be ready. I would do my A stuff at these 5 minute mics from here, and that would make me, you know, somewhat likable, and I would slowly get on bar shows from there. So that was my strategy. And as far as two dudes moving from there to here, I don't know, wear a hat, get yourself a hat, and save a lot of money, for God's sakes. It takes like 4 months worth of rent to move into an expensive place. Deposit first month, last month, broker's fee, which does nothing for you. Find a buddy to stay with on a couch that you can stay, who comfortably won't mind you being there for a month, because get something. Don't just think you're going to show up and, you know, like the movies, and walk out of the cab and then you walk into your place in Manhattan. It won't be in Manhattan. And get ready. Plan that.
So did you have someone to stay with when you first moved out there?
I stayed with my brother in North Jersey. So it was between buses and everything else, it would be like an hour and a half just to get into Manhattan. Mm. So I stayed with my brother in Jersey, and I just recently sold my car. My car was there for a few years.
You're a real New Yorker now.
Yeah, really. I'm just out, and I just live off the train.
Yeah.
And curse a lot. That's it. My urine smells like the subway now.
That's gross.
It's brutal. Yeah.
So you have a rental car right now, right?
Yeah.
How did it feel to drive?
It feels tremendous.
Yeah.
We got a 2015 Ford Fusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. It looked fancy.
It's fancy. It's all in Spanish, though.
Everything's
Spanish. We can't change the lengua.
Why?
I don't know. It doesn't have that setting. We're just
Obama stole our guns.
We've been hunting around on it. But still, it's cool. I got the Bluetooth to work even in Espanol.
Ah, that's nice.
So all the music is in Spanish now. But it's good.
That's fun.
It's a cool car.
Yeah.
I wish I want to get a new car.
How long did it take before you got a job when you went out there?
About 3 weeks. I got a $10 an hour in New York City, by the way. That's like $3 an hour. I got a $10 an hour warehouse job in an audio factory in Brooklyn. And it was overtime, but no overtime pay, no insurance, full time. So I was working there. It would take me an hour to get there.
How is that legal?
It's totally not.
Okay.
But people are willing to do it because it's not legal, but neither are the majority of their workers. So this is how these things work.
Hmm.
And finally, I quit that to do a temp job. That's how awful the place was.
Which is like office work?
Office work. And then
what did the temp job pay?
12.
Okay.
Which is a little, it's something.
What's minimum wage there?
$7.50.
Oh, wow.
It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal.
That's crazy.
This is a concrete toilet. but I did more temp jobs, and eventually it was another comic who was quitting her job and said, hey, I'll get you an interview at this outpatient research clinic. And I got the interview. I got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so now for a year and a half, I've had a bit more bucks. I'm at least breaking even with bills and rent. And I got insurance vacation days, hence why I'm here for a few days.
Yeah. And what do you do for that for them?
I'm a desk clerk guy. I make charts for nurses. People come in with AIDS. They have AIDS, a lot of AIDS. It's really bad.
Like people to help them?
Yes, that's what they have. No, okay. They have the HIV virus.
Okay, all right.
And they come there, and we pay them money to try our HIV drugs on them. Same with people with psoriasis, Alzheimer's. We have a bunch of old crackheads for this one study. Mm-hmm. You have to be a drug addict, and we take stool samples, so they got to poop in bags. And remarkably comfortably pooping in bags, but as far as the forms and everything else, it's a bit of a chore to get them registered and set up and what have you. But pooping in bags, we got it down.
You got that down. And what does that pay?
Pooping in bags for them? I didn't ask.
Do you ever have to transport this stuff?
I have transported the blood and the urine to the hospital, Sloan Kettering, mm-hmm. about a block away, which is another block from the one with the Ebola guy. So I take piles of blood and urine sometimes to the hospital, and there's no security.
No security.
Yeah.
You take them on the train? You have to take
them
on the subway?
No, I just walk a few blocks.
Okay.
That's a job.
Yeah, it's a job.
Is there a lot of people wearing those masks in New York City?
No, like the new Chinese.
Just people walking around with bags of poop and blood and urine, no masks.
It seems to be perfectly okay. No, like the new Chinese will wear them, and then they kind of get over it.
The new Chinese?
Yeah. If they're new. Like, like the two new, like I don't know, Asian female friends that are younger, like they'll hold hands.
Yeah.
That's just like a female-friendly thing. It's not like a big deal. It's not.
And they wear masks too?
Not at the same time.
Okay.
And then it would look like weirdos.
Yeah, that'd be strange to have a germ phobia wearing a mask but holding hands with someone. Yeah.
That would be bizarre.
Hmm.
So what's a typical week for you?
For a comedy or just
is the job Monday to Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's Monday through Friday. So I work the full day. I go to the gym afterwards. I'll hit up some open mics or some bar shows. Nowadays, I'm on a few more bars than open mics, which is good. It's a long. I'll leave at 8 a.m. I'm home at 1 a.m. sometimes, and that's a few hours of sleep. Rinse and repeat every day. So except Saturday and Sunday, I sleep in. I watch wrestling. I'll go to Subway. I'll get a sandwich.
Do they have weekend shows? Mics?
Subway? No. no, I don't. Most of my bookings are from Sunday through Thursday, my bar shows. Like Friday and Saturday is just prime stuff, so I don't get a lot of that prime meat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a ton of Sunday night shows, which traveling will drive you bananas if you're working with the MTA and the Subway, because Sunday night, everything's running so slowly. But that's, Sunday through Wednesday, Thursday, that's my stuff. That's when I'm going. And then on Friday, I'll have nothing to do.
Yeah.
Don't you run the open mic, or you don't do that anymore?
I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But I am at that same club, The Creek in the Cave, in Long Island City. I'm now producing one monthly show and just co-hosting another one.
Okay.
You said you saw Colin Quinn there the other day?
Yeah, this was really cool. On last Tuesday, my show is supposed to be at 8 o'clock, but Colin Quinn will often show up, and for every day for 5 days, he'll practice his hour, and that'll go from 7 to 8. So I showed up at like 7:05, thankfully, and I see the sign, Colin Quinn on Constitutional 7. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So he's just working on his hour. Because we always see the finished specials, the products, the cool stuff on Netflix. But it's just him doing like two-thirds of a joke and then going, was that right? I don't know if I should have done that way. Maybe I forgot this. Oh, man.
And he's workshopping that in front of the audience? But
he's workshopping in front of like 20 comics and 20 non-comics.
Oh, wow. And is he getting feedback during that? Like, are they – or is he just sort of making mental notes? Or are they actually responding to him?
He's getting laughs. I mean,
he's getting laughs. But what I mean is, like, are people suggesting anything? No.
No comic is politically stupid enough to go, hey, you know what, Colin, while you're on stage, I think I got an idea for your joke, blah, 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 blah.
No. So a lot of people talk like you out there.
Yeah, they all do. That's exactly how I sound.
Whackety schmackety.
Yeah.
But don't they do that with like a different comic every week?
Or, they've had a few others. They've had a few like Nick Vatero, a few like half hour Comedy Central guys will do that. But I mean that would be the biggest one to be called. Bonnie McFarlane will show up there from time to time. Rich Voss will stop in, but Colin would be the main, most frequent, bigger name. That's why I bring him up, and it was just a few days ago.
That's cool, and you got to meet him too.
Yeah, no, I've met him a couple of times, just briefly. Hey, I like your thing, and you know, oh, thanks very much. And he shakes your hand, and then he smiles, and then you go.
And you have milkshakes.
I have a milkshake, and just me and another few dudes will just eat a bowl of spaghetti like Lady and the Tramp.
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
so the scene is not bad. With all the spaghetti and Lady and the Tramp
milkshakes.
Stuff.
That's all
milkshakes.
That's all we do.
Have you been trying to date at all in New York?
Not even close.
No?
What's the point?
There's so many people, though. It's like amazing. That was the thing when we visited. I couldn't believe how many freaking people there were.
Yeah. Well, we were in the main area, too.
Yeah.
Like, Times Square is the main. Like, when I went and did the Creek in the Cave, it's like a normal area. You know, there was not people walking all over you.
I went out to Long Island. I stayed with friends there. I was taking the train. Everywhere I went, it was just so many people. And I had a friend tell me, and you know, I noticed on the train, like everyone sort of looks down and they're in their music and they're just not talking to each other. And they're like used to being pressed in close to each other, but not socializing at all. And I wonder if, you know, my friend said that's kind of the thing in New York is like we're all tightly packed in, but we're not really communicating with each other.
Well, how often do you see the same people? It's almost like talking to someone on an airplane.
Yeah, but maybe that lends itself to not dating or not socializing so much because of that overall mentality. Bob, do you have any?
It's that schedule too. It's like I'm seeing a lot of the same people every night. The night by the time I'm working out from 5:30 to 6:30, a shower up at the gym, I'll be somewhere by 8 o'clock, and it's all comics.
Yeah.
So
do you ever do the online dating?
No, I never did do the online dating.
No interest in trying that?
I don't think I can, just because of the overabundance of online dating jokes I've had to listen to. Between the Tinder explanations and the online dating and OkCupid's for this one and Match.com is for this. I'm like, I just can't even, you know, bring myself to go on that.
The material will keep you from meeting a girl.
Other people's material.
You cannot have a relationship because of other people's hacky jokes?
That's correct.
Interesting.
I mean, I think you moved to New York to quote-unquote, make it in comedy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, with me dating, it's tough to have as much focus on comedy. So I can understand if I moved to New York, I think I would be the same way, just driven with comedy, because...
Would not be dating if you were in New York, really? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
Philadelphia? No.
I do like the ladies, we'll put it that way, but it does distract you. Like, would I rather have guaranteed sex?
It distracts you the way, like, a sunset distracts you, or, like, a beautiful day. I mean, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not, like, distracting you with something bad. It's, distracting you with what life is supposed to be about, finding love
of
in
course.
Life, right?
But as a comic... It's, what am I going to do? Am I going to go hang out with this chick I know I can have sex with? Or go to a shitty open mic that I know that I need to be doing because comedy is the ultimate goal?
Yeah.
I'm going to pick the sex every time, basically. Okay. So that's why I think it would be tough for me to date. I mean, it wouldn't be smart for me to date in New York. I shouldn't be dating as much now and focus more on comedy.
You think he should stop dating so much, Bob?
Yes.
See? Bob knows.
Bob knows.
Because I don't really go to the store unless I'm working. Like,
yeah.
I just don't even, I'd rather just hang out with chicks. So.
I guess I'm right in the middle, you guys.
Yeah, I got to get into a bad relationship again, because that makes you want to get out and do comedy. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the world of the internet. Talk, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. So we had some riveting conversation in the break.
We actually did. It was getting intense and...
We weren't fighting.
We weren't fighting, no. But it's interesting having Bob out from New York and his sort of take on the approach to comedy. You know, I admire the fact that you're so focused and tenacious about it. The thing that I always slip in is like doing these festivals and stuff and even applying. So you've been doing some of those Like, did you do recently this Nashville?
The Scruffy City Comedy Festival in Nashville, which was
how did you
really
get into
cool.
that?
I submitted a tape from the Brokerage Governor's Comedy Club in Long Island. Someone had put me on at the end of a 2-hour bringer, and I saved the tape. It was a good, you know, I used the first, it was a 20-minute set. I used the first 5.5, whatever minutes. Mm. And I sent it in. That's it. I just applied. I got in.
You emailed the file to them, or you sent them?
Most of those have like a page with a bunch of fields, you know, name, address, here, put the link to your thing here, upload your photo there and all that, phone number, all that good stuff. So I did that. I got an email back 2 months later. You've been accepted. Please let us know if you're going to come. So I said yes. I had, like I said, and now I have the steadier job, so I have the vacation days and what have you. I said, very good. I'm taking 2 days. Buying my ticket, my hotel, my rental car, got in a hole a little bit, but no regrets on that, because from New York City to San Diego, that's two extreme coasts, you know. Yeah. And I've spent time in LA. I've been a handful of times. I mean, I get it. All the La Jolla guys know LA guys, so I know some LA stuff. I know some New York stuff. I'm like, let me go to just the middle of the country. I want to see what stuff works. How I'm doing. I want to see what do most audiences in the United States actually look and feel and act like. And that was just awesome.
That's
man.
A great experience, huh?
Yeah, because we had like there would be like these music venues, and on paper it's like, oh, you're just doing a bunch of bar shows in Nashville. And you get there, there's 80 people just packed in a music venue, and they're thrilled. You can tell. You can look at them. They're blue collar. They worked all week. They're so happy. We're seeing comedy. They don't care. There's a bunch of Nashville guys. There's a bunch of New York, Chicago, Seattle guys. And I did an underwear show.
I was, what is that? You all perform in
your
underwear?
You all perform in your underwear. Yeah, I did that.
Did you know about this?
Yeah, I had agreed. The guy had posted earlier on the message board for the festival, hey, first come, first serve. Anyone want to get in on this? So, I didn't want to look like I wasn't a go-getter, but I didn't want to do it either. So I just kind of waited a few, and till a bunch of people already said, I'm in. So, like, after, like, how many people can be on this thing? So after, like, 12, I'm like, I guess I'm in too if there's room, but if not, that's cool, man. So I look like I'm trying. You know, like when you reach in your pocket for the help a homeless guy. I don't have any bills, man. Yeah. I did one of those. And sure enough, I put 14 people on a thing, so I ended up doing the
And it was all
show.
Guys?
No, it was two women. It was two females.
And they're in bra and panties, I take it?
Yes, they were.
Were they good looking?
Yeah, no, they were both pretty good looking.
All right.
They weren't have one was from New York, another one from Boston. I went on third. I thought in my head, I'm like, well, okay, this is a bunch of comics. I looked up this venue. It seems like a pretty small bar. A bunch of comics and a few people, and are just gonna. They're not gonna do their straight acts, you know. I mean, you're in your underwear. You got to address that for the bulk of the time, right?
Right.
I go there. Everybody's doing her act. Just barely acknowledging the underwear. Yep. And then just going on, hey,
really?
Dating's wacky. And like, yeah, you're in your
you're
briefs.
In your underwear, of course.
No wonder dating's wacky. You're...
So did you acknowledge it?
Yeah, I did. I did. I played with it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
No, that's how it's
hey,
yeah.
Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, here we go.
Ooh.
Cold War Reaganomics. Airline food sucks. Where's the beef? No, I understand.
So are you, I mean, this is kind of businessy.
Yeah.
Do you try to write any of this stuff off?
No.
No.
It just never occurred to me.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not getting you mean expenses? Nah, it didn't occur to me. What can I tell you?
Okay.
I buy stuff, and that's the end of it.
Right. So you're not naturally maybe extroverted. Are you making a conscious effort to do that more? And when you go to these festivals or in New York, just talking to people? And
yeah, the festivals definitely. And it's easy because they're just generally more friendly. But what I found, what was part of the networking that is getting me on shows more now is that people remember me from the open mic, and they ask me to host their bar show because no one wants to host their own show. So I host their show, and they're like, hey, thanks for doing that. As a thanks, you want to be on the next one? Just do a spot? Cool. Mm-hmm. And that's so I host a lot of people's shows for them, and then I'll just do spots on them later.
Okay.
And that's keeping me healthier and at least alive in the who do we book scenarios.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the festivals, they have like talent scouts or agents or anything like that? So you feel like something could come out of it other than making connections?
You know, I only traveled for the one in Nashville, and it was really just one friendly dude named Matt Ward, who I think there was a club out there too, which name of it escapes me, so he's trying to get that going. He also runs a Cape Fear Comedy Festival in North Carolina.
Okay.
Which I'm trying to get into, which will be in the middle of May. So I want to do that as well. Just an excuse to travel. I submitted to Bridgetown Festival in Portland. We'll see if that works out. I'll go to Seattle or Oregon. Where the hell is Portland? It's in Oregon, right?
There's one in Maine.
Yeah, they got one in there too. Well, we're not going to that one, okay?
No, they do have a Maine comedy festival.
Do they?
They do.
Yeah.
Have you ever done festivals, Jeff?
I did the San Diego one last year.
Okay.
But
that's the only one I've done too.
Yeah, I haven't submitted. I can't watch anything that I've ever, I haven't filmed myself in like 3 years.
Right.
Like, I just don't like filming because never am I doing one set the same.
Yeah.
And I don't usually do very many good shows per se. Like, the Comedy Store is probably the best, but that's just a weird place to film because you have to get it from the side or like, I need to get one of those things where like it can hang on the thing. So
right.
Take it from the front.
Maybe get some clips from the Madhouse from the, you know, when they do that.
Yeah, that's the last one I have. Yeah. But I just hate watching any videos that I've ever done.
So that's kept you from submitting them, or are you interested in doing festivals?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd. I mean, you probably lost what, like $300-$400 doing this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd say so.
So
I did. You know, what am I going
to
do?
But the upside is like when Zoltan did the Seattle one, he met all these people and they booked him to come back to Seattle.
Well, he also won.
That's true, but I mean, so on top of that, he won a couple $1,000s. So I think, you know, you were hoping for that too out here.
Sure.
But also, I mean, this is. Maybe.
But I have no regrets spending the money I did and going to the Nashville one.
Like, right.
I didn't feel ripped off at all leaving that. I was on a plane home wishing I could stay another day.
Yeah, because you had a great time.
Oh,
great
yeah.
Shows.
I just.
Even out here,
better.
I mean, Zach really liked you and he said he would book you again if you came out here. So, I mean, it's not like it wasn't, you know, then there was some people that appreciate it, you know. Even if you didn't get to the finals or whatever.
You just
got to
understand that they're putting fluoride in the water to give us autism. But, I mean, we're fine.
Right. I mean, I submitted to Just for Laughs like a long time ago because that one's free.
Yeah.
And that one's like a legit credit that you can have. And
that's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, but you had to go through a bunch of rounds before. And I just don't feel like I had more confidence in myself 3 years ago in comedy than at this point. So at this point, it's like I'm doing it. But I don't know if I really am passionate about comedy anymore.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the plan was to go to New York like last year, but I just haven't had confidence in comedy in myself or that this is really, this lottery ticket is worth pursuing anymore.
It's funny because I was thinking about like how you get better at comedy, and I don't know if it's a matter of confidence or a matter of self-doubt. Like if you're actually very critical of yourself all the time, you might improve faster because you think you suck and you keep looking at it with that critical eye, that might be, you know, an asset to getting better and being.
This way. Like when I first started playing poker, I would play poker nonstop until I got good at it. And then I didn't really like to play it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of the same thing with comedy. Like I'm as good at it that I need to be in San Diego. I mean, if I'm going to go somewhere else, I need to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, what's the point in getting better? I mean,
that's a goal in and of itself, to get better at things, to develop and grow as a human being. That's a goal without any other goals tied to it.
I think my one goal is to get better at doing longer sets, but that's out of my control.
What about your development in comedy, Bob? Like, what are your goals as far as that goes?
I want to get a better handle on the voice. You guys who've seen me, you know, there's Bob. There's a character. There's definitely a character. I want to get a better handle on the pacing. I want to slow more stuff down and everything else. I have a motor mouth tendency. And I'll always have a fast-paced act.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want to get, you know, the timing is I want to get better beats because you have, even if you're doing well on an open mic in front of comics, we all know comics don't laugh the same stuff audience members laughed at. That's
right.
Number one. And number two is, let's say they do happen to be laughing like or in an audience-like mood on a great day. You still have that weird timing where a comic will laugh at something a split second too soon because they see where it's coming, or a split second too late because they thought about it for a second and went, oh, yeah. So even if you are on the right path you'll purposely find an open mic where you know you don't know anyone, so at least you don't have – okay, they're still comics, but at least they don't know you, so at least – you know, they don't know all your bells and whistles, and you can see if this is really going to work. You can do that, and there's still that, they got it a hair beforehand because they do what you do, or they're a little too late. So there's even still that little head game with the timing, and it's very
right.
It took me. I did an 8 minutes two nights ago at the Comedy Store, and I it wasn't until like minute three or four, and I did that room hundreds of times. You know, yeah. you guys were there, and it's still like it wasn't until halfway through I went, oh, that's how this room works. I was close. I knew I had it, but I was a little right. off, and then finally.
I mean, when do you work on new material?
All the time.
So at that's open right. mics, even yeah. though it's other comics, do you try to do it when you're doing these bar showcase shows?
No, I wouldn't. I don't do a new joke at a bar show until like it's worked three or four times well at a mic and been like, okay. Like I don't do it like once or twice, first, second time at a show mm-hmm. that I'm booked on.
Okay.
I want things to go well. I don't have that comfort level that a lot of other comics have where my friend books this, I can comfortably bomb or screw around mm-hmm. and it'll be totally cool. I don't. Maybe I do have, but I don't feel like I have that comfort where I can just casually, yeah, whatever happens, happens. I feel a pressure like, no, but that's for them. But you have to do well. They can do whatever, but you have to do well.
Mm.
So it'll slowly drive you insane.
So it isn't difficult to try to do these open mics and try to do new material when you know there's very few people even watching you?
New is better if they know you. Because there won't be few. There'll be 20 of them. They'll all be comics.
But they do sometimes listen at least?
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. Or look at you and or their phone at the same time.
All right. You're listening to WSRadio.com. The world. I didn't hear to talk. Be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. So, Bob, if you could have three people, living or dead, watch your comedy show, who would you want?
Randy Savage, The Ultimate Warrior, and Axl Rose.
Okay.
Wow, you had those right away. You didn't even tell him those in the break or anything.
No.
That's amazing.
Bam, right there.
Yeah.
That's done. Axl,
you think about that a lot, huh?
Like, yes. Yes. And Warrior and Savage are dead, so
yeah.
Axl, get over there.
Who are the three people you wouldn't want at a show?
Oh my goodness, Hulk Hogan slash nah. That would be tremendous, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to do like you always hear about the super famous guys, and like this will be a problem. You know, they have those. They perform for the president sometimes. These like White House functions. I wouldn't want to do any of that.
No,
really?
I wouldn't want to perform for a president and just have all.
What
this.
About a former president? What if Clinton was in the audience?
Maybe. Maybe Clinton, but I don't know about any others. It'd have to be a laid-back former president.
Okay. But you definitely prefer a pro wrestler audience.
Yeah, because, I want them to be, people with a sense of class as opposed to the U.S. government.
Do you still follow wrestling?
I still follow. I'm retired, but I still follow. I watch that. I actually hosted a WrestleMania party at the previously mentioned Creek in the Cave.
Okay.
With the using the WWE Network, which you can get on your phone, mobile device, or laptop, or TV for the low price of $9.99.
Do you have
I
that?
Used, yes. Okay. I used the WWE Network to have a WrestleMania party with a bunch of comics. Because that's our Super Bowl. That's the biggest day of the year. So. So we had a big thing, we had 20-something of us in a basement, whatever, just cheering and chanting and drinking and eating for 4 hours.
Okay.
Watching the wrestling, watching the dudes in tights.
So there's other comedians that are as passionate as you?
Oh, more so. Like, they love the fact that I've done wrestling, so they're enormous wrestling fans. A lot of them grew up in New York, Madison Square Garden, that's what they did as a kid. They're still obsessed wrestling fans. That's my conversational in to with most of these guys is pro wrestling. Like, I have nothing else to talk about, and I'll slip by, oh, I was trained by Off of the Wild Samoan back in the early 2000s, and like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Do you know this guy? Do you know that guy? I love wrestling. Do you still watch it? And we have a big thing, and now they know me, and then we do the show.
Okay. One thing you talked about last night is that, basically everything your jokes are made up. You don't talk about real stuff. Is the goal to ever get into that?
Yeah, that's always a thing that I always try for. And I've tried new stuff on my new nephew and brother and sister-in-law. And, and it just wasn't flying for whatever reason. And maybe I just forgot. Not even gave up, but just forgot about it, that I was working on it.
Mm.
I've got some newer stuff on my roommate situations and the dogs that they have and everything
else. So they really do shit in your microwave?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they do. Yeah.
But that stuff about the meditating and the dog lighting the candles of fire, that's all new. I thought that was really funny, that stuff in, about the Bulgarian landlord and all that.
Bulgarian landlady.
So it seems like you're moving in that direction.
Yeah, I've started cracking towards that direction. I think part of it was I was avoiding day job jokes for, because people were telling me, you know, you should never tell the audience you have a day job. They look at you differently. Like, oh, he's not really, really a pro. So I would have all this. So then I had general office jokes, but not my office jokes.
Uh-huh.
And I would kind of just go from there. Like, I've had a lot of office jobs, which is true. Have and do still. And so I would just kind of dance around it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think part of that was wanting them to think I was doing better than I was. It was maybe why I hit away from that.
I got you.
But who are we fooling at after a while? Dogs, shit on the floor.
I mean, are there comics out there that are, like, wearing suits to open mics?
There's always a couple, but really, no. They're all wearing flannel and have beards and... They all wear shorts in the summer and sandals. Drives me freaking bananas. I can't stand that.
Do you dress up differently when you do, like, shows?
I try to dress the same for both. I try to treat mics like a show. I don't like treating mics like a mic. I just don't like it. It wasn't what I started doing. I think a lot of them do, and that's fine, too. But they end up treating shows like a mic, and that's not good. So I try to... I like my collared shirt. I like my shoes, my somewhat nice pants. I'm coming from work anyway, by the way.
Look like a professional.
Yeah, yeah. Look like a business casual for the mics. Like, yeah. Okay, like I'm still like, you know.
But how, like, your character, how would you define your character? And is your character a pro wrestler at, you know, dressed up or...
Yeah.
Is that how you see it, kind of?
He's an ex-wrestler. He's like a war veteran who still thinks he's there half the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Bob is. He's like, he's still half the time. It's almost like, even if he's not talking about wrestling, it's almost like he's having a mini flashback.
Sometimes you wear like a Star Spangled bandana and USA shirt and stuff too, don't you? And I know that you do that sometimes at Creaking or open mics.
Right,
and
that was just for that. It was just a gimmick. We have the most American open mic in New York City, and I would wear this American flag bandana and all these USA shirts I got for like $1.99 at the thrift store made in Korea. And
I kind of like that character.
It was really cool. We'd have him chanting USA and play all these little games. Like, we'd have rounds of comics. So I'm going to call four people in the next round. And go, oh, okay. And then I go, you know what? 1, 2, 3. Both my grandfathers fought in World War II, goddamn it. I'm going to call six names instead of four. Because this is the greatest nation in the world. And whether you like it or whether you don't, they got the red, white, and blue of Americana flowing through your veins. Are we ready for six people? Yeah.
I love that. I think that's funny.
It was fun.
That seems to go with your character a lot.
It does.
I would feel like, I feel like that enhances it. Like the way Judah Friedlander is playing this thing with the world champ. Like,
sure.
Over the top, confident, you know.
Absolutely.
Thing.
He's over the top patriotic.
Right.
Thing.
I think it's hilarious.
It carried over because what happened was people were booking me on bar shows and they were saying to me, like, seriously, like, they knew me for that. So, like, where's the bandana?
Right.
And they I still get every introduction as someone will always introduce me as the most American this or this.
Well, makes you unique, you know?
It's cool.
Something a little different.
But then I don't do any of the get up or any of that on their show because they just, that's what they know me as. And the audience is just confused. Like, why is this guy in a purple shirt? Of the most American guy in the room. I don't understand why.
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know either guy, but here's some jokes.
Yeah. So do you think, looking back, that you moved at the right time?
Yeah, I think I waited long. I think I made the right call by safely waiting long enough.
You were certainly done with your tenure at the store as far as, like, you know, you could tell, like, you felt like that was as far as you could get with that.
Yeah, totally. Like, the same way with you, Jeff, you talked earlier. I was like, this is, what else can I do in this town? I don't want to be the guy who milks it for 5 years and then you're not relevant because new people book stuff now, so you're just that guy. I said, let me enjoy this for a little and then go. And I went.
You went.
I went.
Well, come. Do you still feel like you shouldn't be there?
Well, I feel better now. I feel like I should be here because I should be in New York. I finally feel like I should be there because I likely did something horrible in a past life.
It's one way.
He deserves it. He deserves the punishment.
I'm taking my punishment for whatever I've done.
Yeah, right. Pretty sure you're putting the punishment on yourself. But regardless, it's nice to have him here.
New York edition, what's the worst show you've done so far?
In New York.
In New York?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez, you put me on a spot. Hold on one second. Why don't we start with the best one if that's coming next, and I'll find me time to think of the worst one. The best one was... it was the first time I saw Colin Quinn and Creek in the Cave. I got to go on right before him on somebody's book show on a Thursday and everything else. So,
cool.
And the people booking that kind of took a leap of faith. I was really the new guy. I hadn't been there 8 or 9 months, and they were And they kind of took a bit of a leap of faith and went, nah, we like them. I didn't start hosting the mic yet. I didn't have anything to offer anybody as far as favors go. They just kind of, they just gave it to me. Mm. And then he went on after, and he shook my hand and smiled and said something nice that seemed complimentary, but he whispered, and there was someone on stage. I couldn't hear what it was. So the moment I had waited for weeks and weeks, I was just totally evaporated. I couldn't ask him to repeat it. So that was just the end. Who knows? And I would say the worst show was I was at a situation at this bar in Harlem where we had dumped it's an ambush kind of show. Mm-hmm. There's two parties. One is an African-American middle-aged lady celebrating a birthday with her family. Mm-hmm. Very, very Christian. We found out later. And then another one is a middle-aged Caucasian homosexual gentleman also celebrating a birthday. Mm-hmm. And neither one of these two parties wanted a comedy show in this quiet Harlem restaurant. But thankfully, the band was setting up on a stage. So the band would play over. I went on dead last. And the host talked about, geez, I don't know if I can do that on this air. The host talked about some gross stuff. He used to work in gay porn. Okay. And anyway, we moved
the
stage.
This is the band simulating this. Sorry. Simulating the joke.
We moved the stage to just the floor in front of the only bathroom while they were on the stage hitting the cymbals and giving us the bump bump and all that stuff. And I got to go on last. And
where can people catch you? Twitter? Facebook?
Twitter at Bob Hansen Jokes. Facebook, BobHansenJokes.com.
Check them out. Thanks for coming in, Bob. You're listening to Radio.com, the world on the internet. Talk to me about it.